change the story. A thousand heartbeats beating as one, marching behind a single chord drum. Is it a dream? Could it come true? I think I'll leave it up to you. I got the power. I got the power. With these hands, I'm gonna save my leg. I got the power.
All right, we are back. Last hour of the program, Incendiary Radio. We still got you, Dune.
Go ahead, man.
All right. Hey, now listen. This, and I saw this. You're talking about Al Hoffman Jr., right? Threatening the Republicans he's going to withhold their funding, right?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right. Now, this is what's funny. This is over on the Daily Stormer. Greasy Jew monster.
Well, I picked it up from Fox News. I mean,
yeah, I guess, I mean, right. But this, I saw this on the Stormer, and I was just digging around. Greasy Jew monster.
You got a
Al
shotgun
Hoffman
blast,
Jr.
man.
Threatens to withhold GOP funds if the Trump doesn't kill the Second Amendment. So, Anna Navarro, this Latina Marxist posing as a Republican, she tweeted this out. Very proud of my friend Al Hoffman for taking a stand. He's a West Point grad. He's a veteran, has served in many capacities. He is a Republican, a father, a husband, a patriot, prominent Republican donor, issues ultimatum on assault weapons. And so Jewish Austrian, blah, blah, blah. So basically he's this Jewish guy, Republican, rich guy. He's like, unless you get rid of the assault weapons, I'm going to quit funding you, you evil, you Republican guys. And so you see a bunch of these squeamish type of Republicans. They're starting to cave after this incident. All right. And listen, I got to put this out here, and I want to run this past you since you're in the conspiratorial circles, Dune.
Sure, man.
Listen to this one, and I've seen this floating around, that because Trump got in, everybody that was worried about their gun rights, the Second Amendment people and so forth, they almost took like a breath of a pause, like a sigh, like, oh, all right, our guy's in. So then gun sales really dipped, okay? Remington,
yep.
Glock, and so forth. And so there's
they're all in downturn.
Yeah, so there's a conspiracy kind of research bunch that are out here saying basically that this could be private mercs, okay, from the gun industry running certain incidents, and then you see the left, the automatic knee-jerk buffoon response of the Marxist left, oh, we got to get the guns. And so then this triggers the pro-gun people like most of us out here in RBN land to go out and be like, oh, we better get my, you know, my AR, because now they're going to come for it. And so this is going to cause, watch for the gun stocks and the gun sales to go up now. And people have kind of, you know, observed this phenomenon from time to time with these school shootings, these big shootings, that it actually causes the gun industry to gain, you know, foothold is where they were sliding before, because everybody's like, well, we got Trump in, NRA guy, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so then they run an op like this, and then actually gun stocks, gun sales go up. What say you on that?
Well, if you want to get, like, wide sky conspiratorial on it, I wouldn't say, I would say that, Trump is, probably a bulwark for that. And honestly, what I believe is you're going to see in a long term, maybe not him getting a second term. However, the term after him being, Don Jr., who is very adamant about, the Second Amendment, and, you'll see scales being propelled within that aspect, not just from the Second Amendment, because right now we're looking at not just like the whole like Fox News cast pushing towards we need to arm the schools. we need to arm also with the churches, which what happened not too long ago with Georgia, with them, or it could be Alabama. I could be incorrect with both of those, but it was a southern state saying that it is they can carry within the church. So you can get like crazy wide sky and like go into the whole like ethnical.
Well, listen to this. Listen to this.
That
listen
it could to go this. To
today. But, listen to ahead, this. Man. Listen to this. Church security stops mass murder attempt at Amarillo, Texas. You won't hear the communist MSM report on this one because heroes took down a crazed madman. So this was in today's Steve Quayle.
I haven't listened to Steve Quayle in a bit.
Yeah, but listen to this. Here's my thing with the guns, and I got a couple more callers, but listen, the gun.
Yeah, man,
No, no, no. But listen, the gun is such a simple invention. We got 3D printers now making basically AR uppers, and I mean, for these buffoon gun control types to think that they're going to stop something that is so simple to make. Look at Britain and Australia and other places. They still have gun crime. And even though they're completely allegedly, you know, places that are having
yeah,
a gun.
They're locked down, but they still have boats coming in that have
exactly.
guns coming out of Spain, this man.
And look at our wide open borders that the left, the Marxist idiots don't want to close down, but yet, they think they're going to stop the AKs and other platforms coming across the borders, which they want to leave wide open. I mean, it's just such a silly, you know.
It's a hard push, man. It's going to do is more polarize everything because it's going to be like, no, I want this for my children. I want the safety for my children in my schools. I want people armed in the schools. I want people armed taking the people to the schools and taking them home from the schools, and then the moms are going to wear it, the dads are going to wear it. And then even with the importation or the re-importation of all the M14s that are coming out of the Philippines, and with the it's the shooting apple seed that they do, like they're bringing back the 1911s. And I think possibly the military pushing for a different caliber could bring the M14 the 14 barreled receivers onto the market for that. And with that, and with all the things we're seeing with the FBI and the ATF, and possibly, you know, even within the Obama administration with the Fast and Furious, and even into the 90s and possibly into the 80s with that particular branch of government regulation, we could see a lot of things repealed, but that's just me.
Yeah. All right, man. Appreciate you calling in. Appreciate you listening.
Hey, man. Right, thanks. Man? I love your show. The only thing I wish is you gotta put out the bumper music, man. Can't find him online. All right.
Take
dude. It easy.
See you, man.
God bless.
All right, see you. All right. You too, man. Let's take David in Massachusetts. Greetings, sir. How are we today?
Yes, fine. How are you? Hey, can I? I think I'm a little bit older than you, but can I take you back to Tiananmen Square and the pro-democracy protesters in Tiananmen Square, and then the brutal Chi-Com massacre and crackdown on them?
I'm approaching 50, so I remember that. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I just wonder if there's anybody else aware of this besides me, because it's been all taken down from the internet. But do you know that the Chi-Coms were in a quandary? They didn't know what to do. They didn't know how the world was going to react if they did crack down. Do you know that a top level secret American delegation went over there just before the brutal crackdown? All the heavyweights, led by like Gene Kirkpatrick, who was our ambassador to the United Nations.
She was a heavyweight. Jr. She was a heavyweight Republican. Sure, yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then Alexander Haig Jr.
Knight of Malta. Yes.
Yep, and Brent Scowcroft. Mm-hmm. And of course, I call him Brent Scarecrow. And the reason I call him Brent Scarecrow is because he looks like a scarecrow and he frightens me.
Well, you know okay? what? You know so what? He really let a lot of the cat out of the bag with his rhetoric way back when. I mean, this guy was a heavy world government individual that really didn't pull a lot of punches, Brent Scowcroft. But go ahead.
Yeah, and then now I'm certain about Scowcroft, Haig, and Gene Kirkpatrick. And then I'm not 100% sure, but maybe Larry Eagle, Lawrence Eagleburger, and maybe Richard Armitage. But anyways, all the heavyweights of the American government went over there. And so then right after that, there was the brutal crackdown. And then right after that, okay, this... I call it this great global super Satan. This great Satan then gave this beast gave the dragon most favored nation status, gave him missile targeting technology, gave him satellites, intergalactic satellites. In other words, I'm absolutely convinced that these communist traitors. This delegation from the sent over by this great yeah. Satan out of this great Satan seat of authority, which is in Washington D.C., and I'm absolutely convinced that they're the ones that assured and reassured the Chi-Coms that if you crack down and brutally crack down on this pro democracy student,
we won't
you
do
get
squat.
From us.
Yeah, we won't do squat.
Yeah.
Hold on, David. Remember, I remember Chinagate with the Clinton administration, that Jewish guy that ran the satellite company. They transferred all that technology to the Chinese. Charlie Tree, remember that guy, the fundraiser, the bundler? I mean, I remember all that China penetration with the Clintons. And remember David Rockefeller talking about how great Chairman Mao was. And I mean, this thing goes back to the State Department and supporting Mao versus Chiang Kai-shek. The John Birch Society was born out of the blood of the communist butchers in China. And so, yeah, I was a member of the John Birch Society for a long time until I realized that that had been penetrated and taken over. And I realized that after 9/11, but go ahead.
Yeah. So I just feel that these we know that the authors of communism are right out of that Washington D.C. and Wall Street. That's been all documented. By Anthony.
You know what
Sutton
fascinates
and
me as an American. You know what fascinates me as an American. How many? And you can thank the Cosa Nostra and the Jesuit order for liberation theology, and then the overthrow of all the nationalists all throughout South and Central America, and the implementation of a lot of the Marxist regimes all throughout the world at the behest of our government, the so-called city on a hill, but yet our deep state has always found a way to support Marxist butchers throughout the planet, and this is just this thing that a lot of Americans can't, like Sean Hannity and the rest of them, they can't look themselves in the mirror and say it, that our State Department and our Central Intelligence Agency has overthrown so many countries and implement and then put in the worst kind of characters just as a management program. And it's a bummer, and that's all I can say. But go ahead.
Yeah, I want to tell you something funny that I think will make you laugh. But let me just close this thought about China and Tiananmen Square. But these communist tyrants in this country, they want to put us under the communist tyranny, but they think of it as a shackles on a prisoner. You put the shackle on the right ankle, and you're going to put the shackle on the left ankle. So they knew if China ever got free of their shackles, you'd never be able to get the shackles on us. So it was essential that they keep the Chinese people shackled until they could get the other shackle on us. But anyways, the funny thing, I think you'll get a chuckle out of this. And then I'll let you go. But I don't know if it was at Christmas time or what, but the Pope was addressing the masses, and he said there's rumors abroad that the first Jesuit Pope is also the first Marxist Pope. And anyways, Pope Francis says, well, let me assuage all those fears. And let me assure you, I am not the first Marxist Pope, and I'm going to prove it by being the popiest of the people. I'm going to be the popiest of the people to prove that I'm not the first Marxist Pope.
That's pretty good. Well, Pope Paul VI, Montini, was a pretty hardcore Marxist, too. Crypto-Jew Montini. Yeah, Pope Paul VI. He was the Pope while I was born, so.
Yeah. John Paul II, his mother's name, I understand, was Wanda Katz, a Polish Jewess.
I've heard that, too. The Katz name thrown around with Karol Wojtyła. That was his name. But, yes, I've heard that the mom's name was Katz. Yeah.
Yeah, supposedly if your mother's a Jew, you're a Jew, supposedly, you know?
Yeah. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you calling in. Appreciate you listening.
I enjoy
it. Yeah. Yeah, thank you, sir. You guys seen this one floating around that Rod Rosenstein, number two over at the DOJ, there's internet sleuths that are saying that he's Heinrich Himmler's son. Rod Rosenstein, it's Himmler's kid. Just wanted to throw that out there. Let's take Bill in Wisconsin. Greetings, sir.
Yeah, how you doing, Robert?
Hey, Bill.
Yeah, glad you had Fetzer on. I always like to hear his take on everything.
Yeah,
guy is a walking encyclopedia. Has a lot of good points. You know, and then Paul from, I think it was New Jersey, he got on the Kelso Kool-Aid show the other night, and by the time the show was over, Kelso was bouncing off the walls. Anyway, he was pretty good there. Now, my take on Trump, all right? What occurred here at the State of the Union? He singled out Mattis for special praise, okay? He's turned all of his rhetoric from the campaign down the toilet. In other words, you know, we had spent $4 trillion over there in Afghanistan, and what do we have to show for it? We're not going to do that. We're going to spend the money at home, you know, whether we have it or not. But in any case, that was one of the main reasons why I wanted to support him. The other thing, obviously, he didn't want to go for Hillary and all of that crap. But, you know, he singled out Mattis. He's got H.R. McMaster in there. McMaster's saying that, you know, what took place here with these indictments by Mueller is incontrovertible proof.
Yeah, that well, the McMaster Russians and Trump are at war right now. McMaster and Trump are at kind of war right now, if you're tracking it.
Well, he shouldn't even be there.
No.
He shouldn't even be there, okay? And this Christopher Wray, all right? FBI director. He passed the Senate 92-5.
Yeah.
And Dianne Feinstein thought he was just an excellent choice.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Hold on, Bill. We got a break. We'll see you on the other side.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Back to Civiary Radio on RBN. Now, I was talking about gun control and disarmed and everything, and we're talking with Bill in Wisconsin, but Sean, I wanted to get this in. Sean down in Australia says this: we're allowed to have guns. We have license grades, A, B, C, D, etc. But what has disarmed us in a sense is that our government has said there's no excuse for self-defense with a firearm. If we use our guns as weapons, self-defense or otherwise, we are immediately imprisoned for extreme amounts of time. For instance, also, if we make a pistol, we get an instant 10 years most of the time. Some of my mates have made their own guns but immediately bury them so they don't get caught. And so this is what we're going to face here in our country is basically, oh, you can have guns. We're not going after your Second Amendment. Mike Bloomberg and the whack jobs, all the buffoons holding up their little signs down there in Florida, the rest of these zombies But basically, there's no excuse for self-defense with a firearm. Well, what the hell do you have a firearm for besides self-defense? You're going to let our countries be overrun with, like, the lowest form of life on Earth. We already got the lowest forms of life in all of our major American cities, Baltimore, St. Louis, Chicago, Detroit, everything else, like low IQ, street-level thugs, but all of a sudden in 2018, we got to take my gun out of my hand right when these people are trying to overrun our society. We're hanging by a thread. Fascinates the hell out of me when when people are getting carjacked, murdered, and everything else at alarming rates, but yet all of a sudden, I can't, you don't want me to have a pistol to protect myself. And I had to go off on that tangent, Bill, but this is the mentally ill people that we're dealing with right in our face. And I know there's Milwaukee up there by you that's a Looney Tune town. It's any one of our major cities, it's just like you. This is the time you have to be armed right now, but they're trying to disarm us. Guess what? The crime can even further increase. Then the power of the state increases. Limited government goes away. But go ahead, Bill.
With some of my thinking, you go back to the campaign, and I don't know what the event was, but Trump agreed with Hillary Clinton that if you were on a watch list, then you shouldn't have a gun. Okay, so yeah. That kind of, concerned me at that time. Well, then we had the so-called gassing in Syria. And right away, you know, he gets on TV and he says, well, you know, I'm concerned. Look at what happened to those poor children. So he sends over the 59 missiles right away. Okay.
Ivanka was worried about it.
Yeah, Ivanka. Well, here's what I think's going to happen. I heard on the news that he's going to meet with some of these young people and have a listening session. And I will bet you anything that's Ivanka, again, telling them that you've got to listen to these brainwashed kids. This was so phony, okay?
Yeah.
If, you know, there were no candles, there were no vigils, right away to the streets, these brainwashed kids were demanding
with their preprinted signs, with their preprinted signs
right away.
Yeah,
I saw a kid on the news tonight. He made the statement, this has got to end. I had to spend 2 hours in the closet. This has got to end. He should have been in the bathroom, and somebody should have pushed his head in the commode. That's what should have happened.
Gave him a swirly. Yeah, I get it. It's painful, Bill, for those of us that realize how deep this whole silent weapons for quiet wars, this psyop to mind war system they're running on us, this sophisticated, and these kids are victims, man. And look, a lot of us are old enough to where we're like impervious to the cell phone towers and all the extremely low frequency and all the garbage that DARPA level, CIA, IARPA level programs are being thrown at us. We're old enough to where that stuff doesn't, if we're a targeted individual or not, it doesn't affect us the way it does these youngsters.
The hell it doesn't. Around. I got all kinds of aches and pains.
Well, you know what I mean, though? It doesn't affect how you're going to act towards your fellow man. Unfortunately, the impulse control, and I look at this all the time and where I work and everything, the impulse control of some of these folks is almost non-existent. They cannot control their own impulses. Those of us that are older, you get your sea legs of how the world works. And even though they're trying to turn these weapon systems against us, it's not nearly as effective as it is towards the young ones. And, this is what really gets on my nerves about these entertainers, these sports figures, all these people that are, that are turning every bit of their stature and everything towards this agenda, which is basically neo-communism. And they're going to try to disarm us. They're going to put us into the robotic, driverless cars, the AI, nanotech, genetic enhancement, robotics, this dystopic world that none of us want. This is where they're pushing us. And unfortunately, this shooting is just another little brick, building this road towards what we're going to have to face. And nobody, we're all pushing against it. But unfortunately, the larger society is completely asleep at the wheel. And I, you know, there's people, there's cracks in the dam where I'm seeing people become cognizant and they're realizing that there's something wrong here. But maybe I'm just in a place where there's a bunch of idiots. St. Louis is just a lost cause, and it's fool's land. And I don't know, but I don't know where you're at, Bill, and how does it feel in your geographic locale?
Well, if you got a minute here, you know I'm on county board here and also a town chairman, but
yeah.
I got a letter from the attorney general in Wisconsin inviting me to a meeting that he was going to have in our county here. All the counties in Wisconsin are suing the drug manufacturers for fraud because we said, you know, that they have told people that the prescription opioids are not addictive. Okay, so we're suing them. Now, we had to pass a resolution on the county board. I brought another one, which pointed out that all of this opium is coming out of Afghanistan, that when the Taliban controlled it, it was next to nothing. Now it's huge amounts. And anyway, I brought this resolution to the meeting, and the attorney general had three things on the agenda: prescription drugs, okay, methamphetamine, and heroin. He spent, you know, it was an hour and a half meeting. He spent an hour talking about the meth problem. And there was the mayor there. There was the guys out of the sheriff's department. There was a judge there. There weren't a lot, about 15 or so. So they were talking about this meth problem. And then I raised my hand and I said, well, you know, the meeting's almost over. You haven't gone into heroin. And I, you know, pointed out that all of this heroin's coming out of Afghanistan. And, you know, we had sent this. It passed the county board, by the way. And we sent it to all of these agencies, like the DEA, the CIA, the FBI, the president, about 20 agencies, the Senate Intelligence Committee. And, you know, we haven't heard squat from any of these, you know. So what I wanted those agencies to see was that we knew that they were bringing this heroin into the country, and, you know, what are you going to do about it? You know what this attorney general said? He said, you got your facts wrong. He says, that's coming in from Mexico. I said, I know it's coming maybe across the border and other places. I said, but it's not grown there. I said, you've got to go to the source. So he didn't like that. And then, you know, so I said, I about fell off my chair because this guy's denying the major source of opium that's being converted to heroin that's killing people in our country. Then he said, you know, later on, I was just at a meeting of the police chiefs in Wisconsin Dells, and there was a mother there from Sandy Hook who gave a very stirring talk and so on and so forth. So the brainwashing is going on, and it's sickening to see it, but I, you know, try to do what I can.
All right, Bill. Well, thanks for calling in, man. I appreciate you listening.
Oh, yeah. No, I will.
All right. All right, buddy. Take care, man. Yeah. Let's take Richard in Austin. Welcome to the program, Richard. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Robert. Can you hear me pretty good?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of like endorse Donald Trump because after he said that on live on stage during the campaign that, hey, Hillary, we created ISIS. You know, he kind of shut it down after he said it, but he said that. Yeah. And to me, that was a shot to the head right there. Then when he said we need to let 5 years go by before we let anybody who leaves Congress come back and be a lobbyist on the Hill.
Yeah, yeah. That was good. Yeah.
Yeah. But then when he said the ultimate thing to me, the ultimate move of all time was Lyndon Johnson in 1954, the 501c3, when he called a press conference basically and said, "We're going to free up all of you gag ordered prostitutes." That's how I look at him. I can't be respectful anymore. Because if that army would have been unleashed the way Trump wanted them to be, our troubles would be over by now. It's too many of them.
Did you notice this, Richard, the double standard, where if you were basically on the Marxist left, you could invite any political figure you wanted to your church, and the IRS had never clamped down on you. But if you had some conservative, you wanted to stick to the Bible about homosexuality or something like that, that's when the government had come get in your face. And so there was that double standard there with the 501c3 churches, to where, hey, if you were a commie, you could have any politician you want in your church, any kind of figure. They wouldn't give them any crap. But if you had some sort of Bible-based and you stuck close to basically biblical principles, that's when you would run in afoul of the IRS.
Yeah, and that's true. But you know what? I still got to blame the collective clergy in all denominations.
Right, right.
Because if they would all hit the streets in mass, nothing could stop that. That's a force that can't be stopped. And I'm talking whatever religion you can think of, from Buddhism to, I don't care, I'm not going to name them all, it's thousands of them. But if they would have heeded Donald Trump's, he basically uncuffed him. So to me, that was the greatest thing he could have did, and they haven't responded.
Well,
so,
you know who was really behind that whole corporatization of the churches was basically Rome and the Jewish gang. Okay, the synagogues and the Catholic Church, they didn't want to pay taxes on their properties and so forth and so on. And of course, the synagogue's always been in bed with the let's just say the Marxists. And then elements of Rome have always been wanting to squelch the Protestant voice. It's just the way it is. And then I'm half Italian, raised in the Catholic Church, but I'm still going to tell you the truth. Catholic Church owns a hell of a lot of land in this country. They don't want to pay tax on it. And so the whole corporatization of the churches, and then they could shut up some of the hardcore Protestant voices out there who are very pro-gun, very pro-private property, basically maintaining the vision of the original, the founders. And so you had these two elements that always get in bed with each other. And they screw up free countries. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, I agree. But if the bottom line to me is, with all this information that's out there, like, I always throw my mother in the mix. She goes to church every Sunday. She pays her tithe. I said, "Mom, now everything I've told you about from 9/11 to Obama's birth certificate, you name it, why haven't you had a discussion with your preacher about this man's being an imposter?" And she won't touch him.
Yeah.
So it's like, to me, it's the people's fault now. The masses want to remain asses for whatever the reason.
I know it. Go ahead.
I really called to talk about the black boule, if I can get a minute, because I think we can shut this down. Yeah.
Well, hey, listen. Before you start, if you listen to my program, I'm into a lot of the black researchers, Steve Coakley, the Black Child, a whole bunch of the YouTubers, and so I'm familiar with the area where you're about to go, and this goes all the way up to Steve Harvey and all of these characters that we see pushing this race war agenda on the black side of the house. But go ahead, let's hear what you got.
Exactly. Well, that's exactly where I want to go, because I've called Al Sharpton's show, Armstrong Williams. I've called a bunch of them. And every time I get into what these guys' real mission is, they always hurry up and get some static on the line and shut me down. But again, to me, it's the people's fault, because I've called, we got a local show here in Austin, KZI. And every time I call them and I tell them about the black boule, they always act like they either don't know what it is, or they act like, you know what, I'm not going to touch that subject. So to me, it's always left up to the everyday Tom, Dick, and Harry. And like you said, people like Harvey, you know, we love these people because they make us laugh, they dance for us, play basketball. But at the end of the day, they're the ones who convinced us to let Obama into the house. They're the ones who convinced us to get these vaccines. They're the ones who convinced us. They do all the commercials, Coke, whatever. You know, they're the
but
ones.
They're the ones that they're the ones that convince you that the vision of Karl Marx is what's good for black people. I mean, that's the most basic breakdown I can give you, because whether it's Sharpton, Jackson, anybody on the Michael Eric Dyson, Michael Eric Dyson is one of the most insidious individual, and he works. You know where he works? Georgetown University for the Jesuits. Okay,
amazing.
I'll break it down for you. The same place Michael Chertoff's wife works. Okay, 9/11 mastermind. This thing goes deep, and people don't realize that it's like, look, when you hear a black guy talking communism, you have to realize this is if you're a black American, this is your mortal enemy. He's trying to push the ideology of Karl Marx onto your people. And I know about Black Wall Street in Oklahoma and everything else that got bombed. And so it's a fascinating history to watch. That these people want to push communism, and then Lyndon Baines Johnson talking about how he'll have you folks vote Democrat for the next 200 years, the whole nine yards. I get it.
But let me ask you this. See, because I understand what you're saying about Marxism and all that, but most the average everyday black person don't know nothing about that. So I try to just keep it simple with them. I ask them, how do you think a guy like Steve Coakley, who probably was a black racist, he had a lot of scars, yeah. So I'm not really.
Hey, listen. I listen to Black Coakley, Steve Coakley, and look, I listen to him talk about white boy and cracker, and I get past that. I listen to what his research says, okay? Just like I listen to some of the white guys. Yeah, and I listen to what you know what I do? I pay attention to the dots he connected, and that's what you got to take the meat and throw away the bone. Go ahead.
Thank you. Because everybody got a little bitterness in him, Big Gregory, all of them. But the point I'm making is, when you bring that right to the average black person's face and say, why do you think Steve Coakley showed us where these people emanated from, out of this Henry Minton, you know, out of the Greek system? You give them the whole structure, and they go into denial. They just love being played and lied to. Then I say, well, didn't Malcolm tell you you've been hoodwinked, bamboozled? Then they get mad at me then, because it really gets rough on
me. Hey, were you listening after the Super Bowl, that thing I did on that guy from the Eagles with the big Q tattoo and the black power fist and that whole nine? Did you get into that?
I missed that. I was working late that night. I usually get a little later.
Let me get this to you. Let me see. His name is Malcolm. But anyway, let me say, the NFL Network had a YouTube clip for this guy, right? And his name's Malcolm something. And I'm looking for it right now as I'm talking. But basically, he had this big old gold necklace with a black power fist. And it was the left fist, okay? The left fist of Marxism. And he's sitting there being interviewed by one of the chiefs of police of one of the little outlying areas of Philadelphia. And they're talking about police relations between you know, blacks and the police and everything. And it's just like, dude, he's got this massive Q tattoo, brand on his left arm. He's with the Q fraternity, which you and I know what the Qs are. They're very hardcore. And so the whole thing was a big psyop. The whole thing was fascinating, but go ahead.
No, it's amazing. They're right in front of our face with it. So I always ask him, I say, now, this guy Kaepernick, what do you think? He just came out of nowhere. He's taking a knee. He's costing the NFL and all the players billions of dollars in the long run. And then I ask him, do you think Kaepernick knows that Jesse Jackson was part of the assassination of Martin Luther King? They get quiet on me.
Yeah.
I put it right in their face. We just love being played. Yeah.
Jesse Jackson was dressed a certain way. He was wearing a tie, or he wasn't wearing a tie, which is a signal to let his behind stay alive.
Right. I tell him that. Nothing matters. I even tell him about, I can go all day just like you, but when you tell him point blank that Obama finished the PNAC document work. He destroyed Libya that left Africa open to be raped by China and everybody else. And now African women are having to marry Chinese workers because a lot of the black men. Cynthia McKinney was over there reporting live that they was chopping off the shorter, darker black men's heads. And black people don't respond to that for some reason. We just, it's amazing how I think we're traumatized more than we are wicked. I want to say some of us are just wicked enough to go along with it because we hate.
But it's the same thing though, but look at, it's just a different kind of psychological program. Look at the white guys who now think that they have to be a homosexual to get some sort of preferences at the workplace. You know what I'm saying? In order for you to make it in the world, you gotta be gay, because then you can be part of the gay mafia. Because if you're not gay, you're an evil white male. You see, and you gotta be thrown to the very bottom of the totem pole now. Because see, you're nothing but a racist, Nazi, rapist, sexual harasser, the whole nine yards. You're responsible for all evil that ever happened in the world. And look. And we all know this is a psychological warfare program, but unfortunately, let's talk about this Black Panther movie while I got you on the line. What's your thoughts on this next level of the racial destabilization side?
Well, it just gets sillier because I was listening to one of the shows earlier today, and they named like five different super black heroes. The Wayans did one. Robert, I mean, it's been so many of them, so I don't even know what they're talking about. He even mentioned Man in Black. Wasn't Will Smith like a super? I mean, we're just silly now. We're clowns. That's all I can say. I have no respect for that mindset because, like you said, it's a brainwashing, but is it willful ignorance at the end of the day? Are we traumatized? Are we just, it used to be a term used in the 60s. Are we just so psyched out? Are we so heartbroken by Obama being such a friend? I don't know what to say, almost, because my brother, who I never argued with growing up, he's 62, I'm 60. Now, all of a sudden, he's insisting that, Rick, I don't care what you tell me, Obama was our first black president, and I'm going to support him. And I can give him 100 different scenarios where he would fight guys in the hood because they were villains, they were bad guys, they didn't kill nobody, well, a couple of them did, and I'm saying, Ed, you were willing to fight little kids and get your justice, but now you're not willing to bring Obama to justice just because he's black. You got African kings all over Africa that have are at the pinnacle of power. Are they treating their black citizens correct? So why would you need Obama to justify your blackness or qualify your when you already got plenty of black? It's like there's no way to rationalize or reason with the people. Even my own brother.
Think about this. Okay, so you got your first half-black president. Mom's white, dad is black. Frank Marshall Davis is probably his real dad. Dreams of my real father. But anyway, regardless, this is the guy that takes the White House and puts it in the rainbow lighting of the homosexual community. And then this is your guy. This is the guy that you're going to go down history is like, you're going to have his portrait on your wall and the rest of it, but yet you go to church and you read the New Testament. I mean, this is like cognitive dissonance. And and look, there's a whole lot of white folk out here, same deal. They think Obama, look at all the guys in the unions, these 60-year-old guys that are retired that I got to drink at the bar with once in a while. They're pipe fitters, and they're sitting there thinking Obama's great just because he was a Democrat. I'm like, are you that big of a knucklehead because this guy's in the same political party that you think is going to pad your wallet that all of a sudden that this is a good dude? I mean, this is the simplicity of just retardedness.
It really is. I even bring up the Christmas Day bomber because I say, okay, since we're mad about Trevon and Eric Garner, well, let's go to a real African-American. I guess that's what he was. And I give him the name of Umar Abdul Farouk and how they captured his mind, put him on drugs, ran him through the... And then I told him about the Haskell family who were experts at citing the crime. They were willing to be eyewitnesses for this guy, how they used him. And every black person who I told that, it's like, I said, Do you like being checked out for an hour at the airport, 2 hours? Do you like your grandmother being stripped up? And nothing I say matters. It's like, I don't care. I said, but Obama did that. Then I tell him about the gun running on the border. I say, that's why Trump said we don't know who's coming across the border, because he knows about that gun running. Yeah. Nothing.
Well, all the Border Patrol agents and Mexican nationals that were butchered by those guns from the Fast and Furious program. I mean, we've had our own Border Patrol agents smoked by those guns, but then a whole bunch of black Mexican folks, victims of the cartel violence. I mean, beheading them, hanging from bridges. I mean, the whole thing is it reeks.
I'm glad you mentioned the Hispanic brother, because I'm going to go into HEB right now, and I talked to a bunch of the Hispanic brothers there and Papa John's where I work. And every time I tell them what you just said, like, about Brian Terry, I tell them about his brother, how his brother told a story about he had the list in his sock with all the guns. And I said, now, Obama, the first black president, and Eric Holder, the first attorney general, and what's the other gay chick, Janet Napolitano, all three of them were in on that gun running, my Hispanic brothers. So why would you still support Obama? And you can't get through to them either.
You know what was real gangster? Was this dust up with Trump and this present occupant of the papacy, Bergoglio Francis, at the southern border, and then all of a sudden, the Supreme Court Justice Scalia ends up dead down there at that Cibolo Creek Ranch, which is right near the border, right the same place where Trump and the Pope had their little dust up, where both of them were in that same proximity. Then a Supreme Court justice dies down there at this big hardcore Democrat supporter, John Poindexter's ranch, which is kind of like a southern Bohemian Grove level weirdo operation down there. That whole thing was insane.
It's like the Colorado airport. I drop facts. But some people just ain't trying to hear the facts. They too hurt. They got too many scars. And that's why I like Judge Joe Brown. I mean, you asked me if I liked, what was his name, the guy on YouTube. And I don't like him because he never gets into the stuff, the meat and potatoes. But I like Judge Joe Brown now because I've been listening to him a lot. He gets into the meat and potatoes. Remember I talked to you about Tommy Sotomayor? He stays on the edges too much. He talks about silly stuff.
Sotomayor is a cultural critic. He gets into these broads for weave diving in Baton Rouge and the floods. And I mean, I that stuff's funny. I got to give it to Tommy Sotomayor. He's made a living being basically an intellectual. He looks inside his own community, and he's a critic of all the retarded stuff that goes on in his own community. David Carroll, I'm sure you're familiar with him. He's kind of a conservative black dude. He's very pro-black, blah, blah, blah. But David Carroll, check him out on YouTube. He rips into his own, he cleans up his own backyard. He calls all these cats buffoons and coons, and it's funny stuff. I love listening to that guy. But I like people that clean up their own backyard and want to straighten out their own community, and that's what it is. That's the magic.
Right.
And see, the problem with all the people that have presented to the black community as their leaders and intellectual thinkers, the one thing that they're not allowed to do is look inward and say, what's wrong with us, and let's fix it here on the inside. And once they start doing that, then guess what? Something happens to them. IRS case, killed, that's scandal,
true.
Some weird stuff.
That's true.
And so, because the last thing they want to do is fix our inner cities and have people self-regulate their behavior. Because then the out-of-wedlock birth rate will come back into control, and all that weird stuff that we see happen in our cities, then they won't be able to control the city anymore the way they do. With corruption and all the weird stuff that they use. And so, Pastor Manning and all these cats, See, they get thrown under the bus as Uncle Toms and the rest of it because, they're trying to clean up their own backyard. And that's the last thing they want, is for people to clean up their own backyard in the black community. That's just the way it is.
And you're right. But so that's why more people should call shows like this. So you don't have to be a direct target. If more people would just get on the phone and call different shows, a variety of shows. I got to the point where I was calling 3-4 shows a day. I cut back since I've been fired from TxDOT for protesting the toll roads. But my point is, I mean, we're leaving it up to one or two guys. I think they murdered Steve Coakley because of that, you know, he crossed over and started talking about the poison food and water. I think Prince was murdered. I mean, if the masses would start talking, then, you know, how they gonna they can't kill everybody, you know.
Hey, you know what Coakley's kind of paradigm was? He's like, look, when they let these guys fester and be agitators, like, you know, Martin Luther King and some of these other guys, they let them do that. But once they go outside the boundaries that they've been given, like Martin Luther King started getting involved in geopolitics, going outside the United States and worried about the Vietnam War and certain things like that, they're like, got to whack him now. See, he's getting involved in things where we didn't give him permission to go talk about Vietnam and all this stuff. So he's got to get smoked now. It's just the way.
I think his brother was next, because his brother came up drowned in the pool, I think, shortly after that. So, and he sounds just like Martin. So,
well, what happened to Malcolm X? Malcolm X, he goes on his Hajj. He goes to Mecca. He sees that, hey, this Islamic thing that I've brought up in the Nation of Islam, it's not just a black thing. He's like, he's sitting there looking at white guys from Chechnya, white guys from Britain, doing their thing around the Kaaba and everything. He's like, wait a minute, Islam is not a racial religion. Yes, sir. He had to die, you see, because he didn't fit into the Nation of Islam kind of black, we're collectively God paradigm. And so he was about to screw up the whole thing with using this cult, which has now been joined to Scientology, as you probably know. Scientology. Well, hey, David Miscavige in the loop of Scientology done bought up the rights to the Nation of Islam for a few $1 million. And so now you've got L. Ron Hubbard hanging around with Louis Farrakhan and Elijah Muhammad.
That's crazy. One thing I like about Louis Farrakhan, though, at least he talks about the poison water, the poison vaccines. Yeah. You know, you don't have to love him or hate him, but you can't ignore him. And, you know, I think he kind of explained it. If you could use some of these L. Ron Hubbard techniques to communicate better, why not? Use whatever's available. And you don't have to be committed to them, you know. So, but you say he sold out for a couple million. I didn't know that part.
Well, I mean, hey, there's a lot of black research. There's a lot of black researchers out there that have really thrown the NOI and under the bus for.
Well, Brother Polite moved to Beverly Hills, so where he could be safe. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for the call, man. Thanks for hanging out. Appreciate you being out there.
Man.
Yeah, thanks.
You too, man. Appreciate you.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, there's the music. Very interesting show. Running false flags here in the... running false flags in Florida. Scott Israel, Broward County. Very hardcore Jewish element down there. Hard to discern this, but a lot of us, it gave a bad feeling. And Army people, drills, Secret Service, National Security planted news stories days before the thing happened. It never stops, and we'll see you guys next week. Incendiary Radio, RBN, remember to support the network. Just like Paul in New Jersey said, there's not a lot of places to talk this way. So, see you guys.
Charleston, South Carolina is right under the 33rd degree latitude of the map. The 33rd degree latitude also passes over both Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan. These sites were the place where the first two bombs, atomic bombs, were dropped at the end of World War II. and they have a fascination with the number 33.
His wealth has increased by $33 billion just this year, and he's up over $50 billion over the past 2 years.